Welcome to Paint Radio with your hosts, Andrew Dwyer and Kevin Hoffman.
Heck yeah, let's do a podcast, Paint Radio, the APC podcast. I'm Andrew Dwyer. Kevin Hoffman is here. Kevin, how are you?
I'm doing fantastic.
We always do well when we get to record a podcast. It's fun stuff. But before we get started, question for you, Mr. Homeowner, Kevin. Have you ever flushed your water heater?
I've owned various homes for 20 years, and I have never flushed my water heater.
I've owned this home for, 20 some odd years, and I also owned a home before then. Never flushed a water heater, which, if you pay attention to social media, because I know you do, Kevin, we all do. Apparently, this is something that we should all be doing every year. We really get hammered by this, and I find this, like, I lose my resolve every couple of years because I'm like, no, that's ridiculous. I don't need to. But then it drip, drip, drip that tell me I need to do it, and then I start to lose my resolve, and I research it. I really do think that it's one of those things that certainly can't hurt, which, by the way, if you have a member on your team who answers or responds to questions with answers like, that couldn't hurt, man, none of us have time to waste our time doing things that don't hurt. I'm convinced, Kevin, that flushing your water heater can't hurt, but is not necessary. What do you think? I assume you think the same, or else you'd be doing it.
I think that's about right. I think it matters whether you have an electric or a gas water heater. But if I don't have to do it, I'm not wasting my weekend.
And so I have a theory that goes a step further, that why has this become so popular? And I think because it's very social media friendly. It makes for good video to open up a water heater and show all the schmutz, and people are like, oh my God, which is also why I think it's become popular. Oh my God, you need to clean your ducts. Do you clean your ducts, Kevin?
No, I do not.
Okay. See? Cleaning your dryer vent.
Never done that.
Yeah, see, I think that's one of those things that maybe it could be a problem, but you really should change the filter on your HVAC, right? You need to do that every once in a while. Here's one I do believe in. Changing the water hose on your washer from the rubber kind to the mesh. That doesn't get clogged, but man, if that tube breaks, if that hose breaks, yes, and you're on vacation, all hell's breaking loose. But yes, I'm convinced. And I thank you, Kevin, for humoring me and letting me vent this perturbedness I have about the apparent need to flush your water heater. And who knows, maybe we'll get lots of emails telling us that we don't know what we're talking about.
I would just say that you shouldn't be on TikTok.
Well, boy, that's an entirely different topic, and we'll save that for another time. But unlike flushing your water heater, which clearly we think is unnecessary, we absolutely think it's necessary that if you own a painting business, that you need to be job costing. Oh, my God. If you think, that's for elite contractors, that's for people who love numbers, that's for nerds. I'm doing fine. I know I'm doing great. Wrong. Everybody should be job costing. And so that's what we're talking about today. And to join us to talk about that, we have Chris Moore. He's not new to the podcast. He's been on before. Founder of Elite Business Advisors. Chris Moore, thanks for joining our podcast again.
Thanks for having me. You guys crack me up every time, and I love doing these podcasts with you guys. So thanks for teeing that up how you did. That was the smoothest transition I've ever seen from like what you maybe need to do to what you for sure need to do. So I'm excited to be on here and talk about my favorite thing, and I love doing this with you guys.
Oh, you're too kind. That's awesome. And of course, so I have to ask, and maybe we've shamed you now that you wouldn't admit it, even if you do. Do you flush your water heater?
I just got to plead the fifth after all that. No, I don't. I've never flushed a water heater. Ironically, 3 months before we sold our old house, our water heater went out. So now I question, should I have been flushing it? And would that have got me an extra 90 days until we could sell it? But I've never flushed a water heater. I am cautious with things on TikTok. I agree that could be a different conversation we need to have with you offline. I do change my HVAC unit. I have blown out my dryer vent before. Take the DeWalt like blower, stick it down in there, blow it out. I've done that at least. Haven't had our ducts cleaned. Maybe we should. I don't know. I'm questioning everything in life now.
Do you? That's what we do on Bank Radio. Do you grease your garage door spring? And I will say in advance, this is actually something I do believe in.
Yeah.
Couple times a year, yes. I forget. I think it's the silicone spray you're supposed to use. Do you do that,
Chris? I just saw that the other day, actually. That's hilarious you say that. It's like you're living in my Instagram feed. I don't. But again, we also have a newer house, so I don't feel the need to do it, but maybe I should be. But at the old house, one of our garage door springs broke one time. So what would have happened had I have been greasing them? So pretty much all I missed at the old house was a dryer vent fire, it sounds like.
Well, and greasing the garage door spring is very easy, whereas, good Lord, draining the water heater, that I just feel like, talk about opening a can of worms, that a whole bunch of stuff could go on that I don't want to have.
Yeah, no, I don't. Like, what if the drain clogs, right? Exactly. Now I got standing water in my basement just because I'm trying to do something I might not have to even do.
Exactly. But, as I said, and as we all, I think, believe, none of that is true of job costing. So,
exactly.
And you and Kevin worked on an article together in our upcoming March-April issue about job costing. So let's start off with, Chris, let's give really an introductory explanation of what job costing is. Not exactly how to do it, but what it is, especially for those who don't currently do it. They may think it's more involved than it really is, but just what is job costing?
Yeah. So at the end of the day, we believe in hitting everything with a simple stick. So I'm going to boil this down real simple. Job costing is nothing more than analyzing how much money you made on a job once it's done. Plain and simple. Okay. In doing it is actually very easy. You know how much the customer paid you, hopefully. You can identify how much you spent in materials for that job. And then how much did you pay out in labor for that job, whether it was a subcontractor, whether it's an in-house team. If you can come up with those couple of numbers, which should be relatively available to you depending on how your business is structured, you can job cost, right? So I do see people who are like, oh my gosh, it's financial analysis. And they start throwing out all the buzzwords that are like scary to people, right? And I'm like, at the end of the day, it's revenue, labor, materials. That's what you need to start with, right? You can build on it from there. I can go through a whole bunch of more stuff and how it's beneficial to have more data, this and that. But foundationally, revenue, labor, materials, you can job cost out your projects.
What percentage of professional painters do you think are doing this? Because after talking to you, it seems like a no-brainer. So is anybody not doing this?
Well, Kevin, to be fair, flushing your water heater apparently is a no-brainer too. And how many of us are doing that? So we're going to circle back to that all day. Truthfully, Kevin, from my best guess, it's hard to say, right? Because if you look at the painting industry as a whole, right, there's a lot of painting contractors out there. I would say at best 20 to 30% of people as a whole for the industry are job costing. That's my gut. Now, if you go to events like PCA Expo, you go to even, I was actually very, very happily surprised even at the Sherwin-Williams Pro Show not too long ago. That we spoke at, I think about 60 to 70% of the room was doing it when I asked the question. Now, some of them might be lying. That's okay. They also say they flush their water heater. But I think if you look at the industry as an entirety, right, not necessarily the events where people are there bettering themselves and a little bit more professionalized, that is my best guess is it's maybe 30%.
Well, but how do they – some of those people are probably doing it wrong, right? Because they I'm sure most painters and contractors pay attention to profitability, but job costing is more than that.
Yes. It's not looking at your profit and loss.
Right. So let's draw the distinction. What is really the bare minimum of job costing that needs to be done? And then how can you level it up?
Yeah. So I think bare minimum, having it in a spreadsheet, having it somewhere that can be organized is obviously a big piece of it, right? A lot of people say, well, I don't need the job cost because I look at my profit and loss. And I don't necessarily agree with that because profit and losses can get skewed, right? You finish a job on February 28th, you collect payment on March 1st. Which month does the revenue go in? March, right? So things can get skewed just looking at profit and losses. And so for me, having a simple spreadsheet, we're happy to share. We have a free copy of it. That's like our free resource we share to people and always will because we believe in it that much. But putting it together in a spreadsheet and again, revenue, labor, materials, that's the foundation, right? Where you can build on it from there. And if, again, I'm a spreadsheet nerd. I know not every painter is, and that's okay. But we have it set up to where if you can put in revenue, labor, and materials, it will automatically calculate your profit on the job. It'll show you what your margins are, right? Margins being the percentage of, labor, materials, and your profit compared to the revenue, right? There's some benchmarks here in the painting industry we want that to be in. So you can start to analyze, hey, is this good, right? If you know your labor margin for your, in-house W-2 painters should be 40% of the total cost of the job or less. When you start to understand some of that data, you can start looking at your jobs and identify, are we at 30 or 35%? Are we at 45, 50%, right? And that starts giving you feedback about your business. My good friend Nick Slavik always says, job costing leads you down a path of 18 more questions about your business, right? So there is the foundational part of it. And then it starts to become the next step of it is understanding, what am I looking for in this, right? It's good to know, but if you don't really know what to do with the data, what are we doing with it, right? How do you make decisions based on that? And the next step is understanding what should we be targeting for the residential painting industry or whatever industry you're associated with.
So I know you work with clients on this.
Yeah.
What is typically the reaction when you walk through the numbers, you show them the data, where they may be losing money, where they could make more money? I mean, is this a surprise to them? I mean, is it a happy surprise? What's the reaction you get from clients?
More times than not, it is we wish we would have known this sooner. it's a light bulb moment followed with I'm glad I know this now and we can figure out how to fix it. Because again, most people, they don't know the data. They don't have the data with them. They aren't looking at it. And so they're just not aware, right? I think a lot of contractors I've been in the painting industry. I've been there before, right? Yes, I came into it more business mindset first, but I know what it's like to run from job to job to job and just trying to get through all the work and the touch-ups and like I've been there, right? And so I think it's easy for people to just be focused on getting the next job done, selling the next job, getting the next job done, to not stop and say, hold on, let me take a step back. Let me look at this, right? And do that. So I think that's really where people have that aha moment of like, oh, I never really knew the reality on how well we were doing. And sometimes people are undercharging themselves or they aren't allocating enough time needed to complete the project. And without stopping to look at that data, they just keep doing the same thing.
Losing money
often, right? It's interesting, Kevin, because a lot of the times what we'll find is, yes, there's situations where, they're way undercharging what they should, or they're not estimating enough time, or, they're not estimating enough materials, right? They forget about rollers and paper and tape and plastic and all the other stuff, right? But what we find sometimes is actually per job, they're profitable, which is always a happy accident, right? Because at first they always go, oh, see, we don't need to be doing this. We're doing good. But what we really start to realize, kind of the final step in that, I don't want to skip too far ahead if we're trying to go in order, but the final step is, are you making enough money on your jobs every month to cover your overhead for your company, right? Your insurance, your marketing, your gas, your meals, your office expenses, all the other things that come with running a business, and paying yourself as the owner. And that's where we actually a lot of times fall short. And that's why our job costing sheet is put together month by month is it's not that they're not profitable on their projects, right? They might be hitting their margin target, right? The industry average for painting industry is 45%, right? You should make 45% profit on your jobs, residential, as a good benchmark, right? They might be hitting 50, 53%, but what they're not doing is they're not doing a volume of work at that margin to cover the overhead of the business, putting money aside for taxes. I don't know if that's hitting home with anybody right now, and paying themselves, right? And that's where we kind of find that a lot.
You mentioned clients.
Yep.
I think you deserved a better introduction, but I was too caught up in the whole water heater discussion.
I was too. I couldn't wait to jump in with you guys on it. So,
you used to own a painting business.
Yep.
And then you founded Elite Business Advisors. So tell us, you know, briefly, what does Elite Business Advisors do?
Yeah. So we specialize in coaching painting companies on the business side of their business, right? I kind of say we bridge the gap and partner with them to help them get from where they're at to where they want to go with their business, right? And so helping with everything from the financial side of things, putting marketing strategies together. We don't do marketing services, but helping have a marketing plan, right? Helping with estimating and sales, with recruiting employees, having the systems in place needed for operations and production. 360-degree view. That's what we do. Myself, our whole team of advisors, we've all run and managed our own painting companies. So I found that's been a big superpower for us. In sharing all that to say, like, I'm not just on here talking with you guys about this from like theory, or I woke up one morning and had a good idea, right? We've been doing this with hundreds of clients for the last 7 years, all over the US. And I get to benchmark some of those case studies and data and bring it to this podcast.
And so you mentioned that you've got a job costing sheet on your website, yep. elitebusinessadvisors.com.
Yep. Shoot me an email and I'll share it, chris@elitebusinessadvisors.com.
So should the, you know, it's every painting contractor is in a different spot on the continuum as far as how comfortable they are with financials. Certainly, hopefully every painting contractor has an accountant or a bookkeeper, maybe a CFO. Should the accountant / bookkeeper be fluent in job costing, or is that more of a CFO type thing? Or again, I'm sure it's different for different people, but
yeah,
should a contractor expect their bookkeeper to help them with job costing?
No, not typically. Typically your bookkeeper, your accountant is there for a couple of things. One, it's to do your monthly bookkeeping, create your profit and losses, and or file your taxes at the end of the year, right? They're just there for more the tax side of things, if you will, in creating that. Whereas somebody is a CFO or, you know, working with somebody like us, like we're going to be more invested in the job costing because that's where a lot of the decisions are going to come from, right? Like I always view it as most accountants and bookkeepers, I wish this changed, but it's just the reality of it. Most accountants and bookkeepers are 100% reactive way after the fact, coming in to just do what you need to do for your taxes. So that's where job costing to me comes into play. The only thing I use profit and losses for, but one of the biggest ones is every quarter we stop and we take the profit and loss and we compare it to our job costing sheet to make sure that we're relatively in sync on, hey, so far it shows on our sheet we've spent $10,000 in materials. What's our profit and loss show? Right? Is it show 20,000? Well, if that's the case, then something's off, right? Because the profit and loss is your actual spend, your actual catch-all, if you will, right? You know, same thing with labor, right? If it shows, hey, we've paid out $35,000 in wages to painters, but your profit and loss shows 64,000, why is there such a big gap, right? So we kind of use that just to double check our sheets and make sure that everything's being done the way it should be. And if there's not, then we dive in and figure that out.
Today's podcast is sponsored by the IUPAT, the International Union of Painters and Allied Trades, representing over 100,000 skilled professionals, including painters, drywall finishers, glaziers, and floor coverers. IUPAT is committed to raising industry standards through top-tier training, fair wages, and strong labor protections. IUPAT partners with contractors to ensure quality craftsmanship, workplace safety, and a highly skilled workforce. Whether it's through world-class apprenticeship programs or advocating for policies that support our industry, IUPAT is dedicated to building a stronger future for painting and finishing professionals. Learn more about how the IUPAT is shaping the industry at IUPAT.org.
I like how you focus on industry benchmarks, because I think this can be a lonely profession. I think PCA helps change that and share knowledge and information, but it's some of the most valuable data you can have is understanding your industry and how to price yourself. So you mentioned that 55% is a standard for profitability. Is there 45 to 55, I should say. Is there other kind of standards and numbers we should look at to compare ourselves against?
Yeah, no, I think that's a great question. So, I mean, the couple of things we look at, you know, like you mentioned, gross profit, and I'm going to speak residential and commercial, like repaints. That's pretty synonymous, right? You start getting into new construction, commercial, some of this starts to shift. But for most people in the residential, like commercial repaint market, 45% plus profit is what you're wanting to target, right? Your gross profit after labor materials. If you are, again, in-house employees, labor should be 40% or less. And that's after employer taxes. Okay. It's not gross wages. It's after the 13-ish percent you pay on top of your painter's wages and employer taxes. If you're using the sub model, average pay for subs is 40 to 50% of revenue of the job, right? So if you're on a very big sub model, your gross target might be closer to 40%. That's kind of the only outlier there, because you're going for volume, you know, a little bit higher volume, a little bit less margin, because you're paying your subs well to, you know, have that great relationship, right? Materials is pretty standard across the board, 10 to 15% of revenue. We're seeing it a lot more at 15% nowadays than we did 5 years ago. Most of that due to the fact that material costs have rose at a rate much greater than what we've all raised our prices to completely offset it correctly, right? If that makes sense, right? So we didn't raise our prices in correlation to the amount materials have went up in the last 5 years. And that's okay. That's just part of the economics behind it. But yeah, so we're seeing a lot more 13 to 15% materials, whereas things used to be more 11 to 13%. So that's a good benchmark. If you're over 16%, something's off, unless you're using, you know, unless you're doing a lot of concrete coatings, right? There's some outliers here. I'm talking more painting, interior, exterior repaint, that type of stuff.
You know, I think this podcast really is for people who have not been job costing. Maybe they're job costing curious, as the kids like to say these days. And so I'm hoping, Chris, that you can give us sort of an example, not that you need to name a client, but an example of a client who, you know, once they started learning about job costing, how that opened doors. Because you're right. You mentioned Nick Slavik saying it leads you down a path. I mean, it's going to shine an entirely new light and much brighter light on your business. You know, for years on this podcast, I've occasionally compared it to pilots who are instrument rated, right? Amazingly, you can get a pilot license even when you're not instrument rated, meaning you can only fly when you can see what the hell is going on. You can see the runway in front of you. But man, when it starts to get cloudy, unfortunately, JFK Jr. that's how he died, because all of a sudden conditions changed. He was not instrument rated. Are you, as a painting contractor, instrument rated? Instead of having a gut feeling that you're profitable, or you sort of look at your numbers, man, job costing encourages you to become instrument rated, and so that it does show, man, okay, you're successful, but you could become more so. Or if you want to head into this territory, if you want to start doing more high-end residential and less new construction, or, you know, this team job costs, you're much more profitable when this team works as opposed to this other crew. Yeah. So do you have a case study you could share with us about a client who really leveled up their business as a result of job costing with you?
Yeah, no. So now you're speaking my favorite parts of it. You know, for me on our sheet, we have it tracked by every time you put in your revenue, labor, materials, et cetera. You also add in what type of job was it, right? So where now we're getting data on your interiors, your exteriors, your kitchen cabinets, your concrete coatings, the different types of projects you want to track. Okay. Power of spreadsheets. I love it. It's my favorite. You also track it by crew. Okay. So what crew completed the projects? And then at the bottom of the sheet, we've got it formulated to where it pulls all that data together. And it says, hey, this is how many interior jobs you did this year. This is the total revenue that it generated for you. This is your average job size. this is your average gross margin, right? And I'll even use myself as a case study on this one, Andy, because when I had Elite Painting, we quit doing big exterior projects because of that report, because I actually looked at it, and it, which is weird. It's kind of backwards compared to normal, right? Typically your interiors might be less profitable and more callbacks. It was the opposite for us. I think my painters just, they didn't do them enough to where they didn't have the SOPs in place and dialed in the way that we did interiors year round here in St. Louis. Right. And so every time we did exteriors, our margins were about 10% less and we had about 10% more callbacks on it. And it was the stupidest of things, right? Like, oh, they didn't paint behind the downspout all the way. And just like all the little random things that was like, they don't do it enough. Right. And so thankfully we had enough work with interiors and cabinets that we said, all right, we're done doing big exteriors. You need your garage doors and garage door trim painted, sure, we'll come knock that out. But like, if you need your whole house painted, nope, send it to HD Paint and Stain up the road. And we did that because we had that data, right? It's been really nice to see it on the crew side of it, right? We've got some clients that some crews are very slow, right? And they get that gut feeling, as you mentioned. And then we look at the data and it backs up the gut feeling of, oh yeah, that crew's average job is 38%. They're constantly over budget. Huh. Okay. So now we got decisions to make, or how do we handle it, right? Is it better training? Is it more handholding on the game plan of the job? You can dive deeper and figure out what the issue is when you see the data. And so, yeah, I love taking those reports. Again, all you got to do is just log what type of job it was, what crew did it, right? If you're a larger company and you have estimators, we have a column on there for estimators. If you have production managers, which PM oversaw the job? And then guess what? There's reports at the bottom for your estimators, your PMs, and different things like that. So we've tried to really make it simple, but also give us a lot of data just by doing a couple of key inputs on a dropdown to give us that feedback on what we need so that, again, you can make decisions about your business and identify how to solve the problems you're having if you're missing the mark.
I can already hear some of the listeners readying their missives to me to say, look, I'm busy. I don't have a ton of employees. Yep. I'm struggling to get out there and make money painting. I don't have time for spreadsheets. You love spreadsheets, Chris, but a lot of people in painting didn't get into this business to do spreadsheets. So
I get that.
First I would say, what kind of kickback do you get from people online who may not understand the value? And then what do you tell people to help them understand that this is something they definitely should be doing?
Yeah. Get over it. That's what I want to say. I try to pretty that up a little bit for them. Again, I get it, right? I mean, we've all been in those shoes. We've done it. To me, you have to want to change in order to change things in your life, right? Most painters didn't get into business to spend any time in front of a computer. I get that. Right. I understand that. That's why we try to keep things very simple and very easy, because nobody wants to have to go learn, you know, all these spreadsheet skills and like, no, like just simple data entry. Right. And so I think for me, it really comes down to like, what are your priorities? Right. Because a lot of people will say like, oh, I want to do that. I just don't have the time. Well, I don't actually believe that you really want to make changes then if you won't figure out how to make it work in your schedule. Right. For some people, it is 6 a.m. job costing or 9 p.m. job costing for a season, right? Like it's okay. Like it's, as long as it's for a season and that's not like the plan for the rest of your life, do what you got to do, right? If you really want to make some changes, you really want things to change in your business, like we're going to have to do some things differently than we've always done it, right? Job costing for us, like this is how serious we are. It's a non-negotiable for our clients. Like if you go more than a couple of months without job costing projects, we start having conversations about if like you're really serious about your business. It's a foundational non-negotiable for us. That's how much we believe in it. And it's not, hey, you need to do it for 3 months. Okay, we've got the data, we move on. Like we have clients who've been with us for 5 years that still job cost every single project they do. Now they may have their office manager doing it. They may have their production manager doing it. They may have their crew leaders helping get the data to them to streamline that process, right? But at the end of the day, job costing shouldn't take you more than 5 minutes out of every job you do, truthfully, right? If it's taking longer than that, we need to have the conversation of, maybe having some better systems in place to track the materials purchased for the job, to track the labor by job, right? If you have 7 employees, them all texting you your hours and a note on your phone, maybe not be the most sustainable way of running your business. That's okay. That's where software's come in, right? How can we have them clock in and out on each job? You can run a report at the end of the job and say, hey, Billy worked 33 hours, Kevin worked 40 hours, and Andy worked 41 hours. Okay, great. Like, I can pretty easily calculate my labor costs at that point. So that's really it. It's making it a priority. And if you're spending more than 5 minutes on every job doing your costing, you need a little bit better of a process or system in place to give you that data. And that's all things that can easily be adapted.
Well, it also arms you with data, which means it makes you a better manager, so that if you need to talk to a team lead because you've had this gut feeling that, man, it just seems like that crew is slower. And, well, now you've got data. Maybe it doesn't prove it, but it certainly validates the gut feeling. Yep. And now it gives you, maybe that crew leader is defensive, but now you've got data to include when you speak to that that foreman and say, hey, man, I think you're lagging behind, but you know, and here's proof and here's what we can do. And so it's obvious value for younger or newer or more inexperienced contractors. I would guess, correct me if I'm wrong, because I know you love to do that, that when you become a larger, more sophisticated contractor, you're 5 million, 7 million, 10 million, but maybe you're thinking, you know what? I want to get more into commercial. I want to get into government contracts. I want to get into whatever, or I want to start rebuilding my team. I want to bring on more foremen. I want to back out of sales. All of these operational changes, improvements, ideally, can't they all be tested by job costing?
100%. Right. And that's why for us, like even our clients that have been here for 5 years that we're still with them on their journey as they're growing and evolving are still doing it. Because guess what? If you offload sales to somebody else, we need to see the profitability of your jobs the next few months. Right. And again, being able to track it by estimator, by PM. Had a conversation with a client yesterday. We're having this discussion that their estimator's kind of underperforming on the sales side of things. And they're like, yeah, well, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, well, let's pull up our job costing. And we start looking at it. And I'm like, huh, his jobs are on average 8.5% less margin than anybody else in the company. You ready to have a conversation now? Right? Like, not saying go fire him, but like, we need to spend some time coaching or training or figuring out like why we're 8% less on all the jobs they estimate. Right. And so, yeah, I think it's exactly what you said, right? You have those gut feelings. Now you have data to back it up. And if you're making big changes in your company, we need to see how that affects things as time goes on, right? And having that data. And again, that's that I joke about my love for spreadsheets. I really do appreciate it. But like, I love it because when you can create formulas for anything, right? If you made a big change April 1st, you can create a formula to go in and pull the data from April through June, maybe not even for the entire year, right? Like, you can do a lot with it when the data is there. You just got to be smart enough to figure out a formula or pay somebody to figure out a formula to get the data you want to look at, right? And we've had that happen before. Hey, we made this big change in May. Can we look at just what our gross profit was from April, January through April as a whole, and then May through August? Yeah, sure. We can easily put something together for that to compare the before and the after of said decision, right?
Chris, again, there's many different ways of doing it right. In companies you work with, who sort of takes the lead on this? Is it the CFO? Is it the contractor? Is it the VP of operations? Is it the hired business consultant? Who is it?
Yes. Somebody. Right. Yep. I mean, I think obviously it depends, right? I have different stages of business warrant, all those different positions you just mentioned. I mean, at the end of the day, it needs to be reviewed by the owner, regardless of who's doing it. Okay. Doing it, that's one thing we've noticed over the years, right? We do job costing for some of our clients as an added service that we're working with, and we have the systems in place, and we've got it dialed into where we can do the manual data entry side of it. But if we do it and the owner never looks at it, we never review it together, there's might as well not be doing it, right? Like, they're literally wasting our time and their money by paying us to do it, because that's the whole point of doing it, right? Is to look at the data and be in the know of things, right? So I think at the end of the day, yeah, I mean, I recommend once you've got everything in place, let your office person do the data entry. Pay your coach or consultant, you know, that you're working with to do it if they offer that service like we do, right? Have your production managers do it after the jobs are done, right? Have somebody do it, but you still need to be in the know of it. You need to understand and be looking at it weekly, biweekly, monthly at minimum, to go through and make sure like, hey, yeah, we're tracking on things and have those real-time conversations. I think to me, I kind of mentioned this earlier, but I want to make sure everybody gets this. Like, to me, the power of job costing is real-time feedback, right? If I have a job and I look and we only did a 35% margin and we went over on labor, there's a chance I might be estimating a very similar project in the next couple of weeks again. It would be nice to have some real-time feedback to go, ooh, hey, we just did a project just like that and we missed the mark because I maybe didn't estimate enough time in it, right? Now, when I go do that estimate, I'm going to make sure I estimate enough time and don't make that same mistake again, right? So being too far behind kind of negates that real-time feedback that can be so helpful in doing this.
See, if you're listening to this podcast and you're still a job costing skeptic, you need to check your pulse. You need to flush your system. Something's wrong. That's, something's crazy, but it's such a great topic. And Kevin, I mentioned this is what you've got. We've got a feature in the March, April issue. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's right, Andrew. So Chris, I got a little surprise for you. Sorry to tell you about this in advance. Let's see if this is get your reaction to this.
We got it.
So you're
that's
on the
awesome.
You're on the cover.
I love it. That made my day. That was a great surprise right there.
What? Maybe tell us about that picture. What? Where were you? What were you doing?
Oh man, that was at Paint It Forward when we were in Colorado Springs, Andy, in your backyard. So that was the building we were doing, and that was we got to give Juan Vasquez some photo credit on that for snapping that picture. And Nick put me in charge of one of the back stairwells, and our team of people were back there knocking it out. So that's awesome. I love every second of that picture.
And you brought your own shirt. Just what's up with that?
I mean, listen, at this point, right, like because it's such a foundation of who we are, right? Like I said, our whole team, we've all ran our own painting companies, right? And I have to figure out how to get those shirts made because I have people that are like, can we get the Elite Painting throwback shirts? And I'm like, yeah, I can probably get some made. Like, sure. So now I'm going to go get shirts made for a business that hasn't existed in 4 years. So, you know, I appreciate it. Like, I love the trade side of it. It's never going to go away. I love doing the Paint It Forward events. And, you know, it's just that reminder of like, yeah, I'm a contractor. I've been there before.
That is awesome. Love it. And since you already threw out your email address,
yep,
might as well mention it again. How can people get in touch with you?
Yep. Chris, C-H-R-I-S, at elitebusinessadvisors.com. Shoot me an email. I'm happy to share kind of our simplified job costing sheet with anybody that wants a copy of it. We've got a walkthrough video on there and how to use it and stuff. I'm always here. If anybody wants to have a conversation, obviously I'm always here. You know, that's kind of what we believe in, is adding value. And obviously if you want to have a conversation about working with us, we're never going to shy away from that. But use this as a resource. We try to put out a lot of free content just like you guys do. We've got our own podcast and everything. We got episode 200 being recorded next week, so I'm stoked about that.
Shame on us for not counting our episodes. I'm going to blame our bookkeeper for that. I don't know who.
Yeah,
that
that's
is.
Fine. That's fine. I just knew it was easy because we've done one a week. And so we did 30 the first year, 52, 52. There was a leap year. So I just know we're going into 200. So.
Man, you are way to stay on track, Chris. That's impressive, dude.
It's been hard. It's been really hard, especially when I was sick last week and I'm in here on Thursday trying to record whatever went out for 15 minutes, but we did it.
Well, Chris Moore of Elite Business Advisors, thank you for being on the podcast. You always provide great info. Thanks for working with Kevin on that feature.
Absolutely.
Again, you can learn more about Elite Business Advisors, elitebusinessadvisors.com. And we mentioned our March, April issue. If you don't get APC magazine, and I know a lot of you don't, because we have our email distribution, our weekly e-newsletter reaches far more people than the magazine does, which is shocking to me because that is a free magazine. And there's only one magazine in the world or I should say in the United States, that deals solely with owning a painting business. And that is American Painting Contractor. And it's a free subscription. And I think that just goes back to, again, the whole mindset. I think a lot of people think they don't need to get better. They're not curious about what do other types of success look like? But man, if you are curious about how to be happier in your business, how to run a better business, how to provide a better future for your employees, all that can be achieved through owning a painting business, because, oh my God, so much can be achieved. That's what APC is all about. And again, free magazine. Go to paintmag.com to subscribe. We'll send it to you. Look for Chris's feature in the March-April issue. And again, paintmag.com. We love what you do. I think even more than you love what you do. And that is why you should all go to paintmag.com. Subscribe. Check out all the resources. And of course, we'll see you next time on Paint Radio.